Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the EVP of this show, Rich Stambolian.
Yeah, I love
it. You're the head of talent relations here.
Yes. And it's just me and you, so it's a pretty easy job.
Boy, you know, we did a show yesterday. And we did a Friday show, and it was great. I had so much fun with that show, and it was really loose. We were having a blast. And we ended the show. We're like, you know what? Maybe Fridays are better because a lot of the news like tends to break like Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that we were onto something here that we should do the show on Friday until Friday afternoon happened.
Yeah.
Now we got to do a show Saturday morning.
And then something's gonna happen today, and then we're gonna have to do another show tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yesterday, we wrapped up the show. I decided that it's time to tan. And I oiled up and I greased up and I laid in my yard. And all of a sudden, I got a call around like 3:40-something telling me that something's about to go down.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, is it? I wasn't told it immediately, but I was like, is it like, should I be doing like a breaking news thing? He goes, oh yeah, you definitely should. I'm like, there's no way I could do this. I've had a bunch of beers and I'm oiled up, so I can't do a show. But the big story here is Vince McMahon retires from WWE at the age of 77 or close to 77. End of the era. What do you think?
Oh boy, very interesting. I mean, this is a great example of corporate deflection, right? I mean, listen, if you know what's going on and what's been going on with Vince, this was the next step to take, right? After all the allegations, the investigation, and all that stuff, I didn't think it was going to happen. Did you?
You know, I didn't see a way out of it for him. Like and I'm not saying like he's going to like finagle. Like I'm saying this is a publicly traded company. They have stockholders. Yeah. They have investors they answer to. There is a lot of accountability when you're publicly traded. And I couldn't see with the allegations that came out and another possible one coming, another possible expose, I guess you would say, coming out. Sure. Wall Street Journal's putting out something. I couldn't see him getting out of it.
Okay.
But I, you know, I'm a little surprised on how it was done and when it was done. Listen, actually, I'm not surprised. A Friday afternoon after the market closes, perfect time to say your CEO, the guy that built the empire, is retiring.
Perfect timing. You know what? These puzzle pieces make me think that this was the plan all along, starting with Stephanie stepping down from her previous role, right? The TV-14 thing, the Triple H announcement, the retirement. We live in the century of spin, and what better way to spin this into a quote-unquote positive than to have Steph show up opening SmackDown yesterday to get the crowd doing a thank you Vince chant?
You know what? That was a little cringy, though, right?
I do feel like there's probably a couple of people in the audience, guys, who were like, wait a minute.
There were tons of those.
We know what he did.
Yeah,
you know?
There were tons of those. But I thought she was like, all right, on the count of three, we're going to thank Vince, you know. We'll get to that. So let's break this down a little bit. So at 4:05 Eastern Friday, Vince McMahon sent out a tweet announcing his retirement from WWE. The announcement came right after the market closed.
Smart.
The announcement stated that Stephanie McMahon will remain as chairwoman, and her and Nick Khan will share the CEO role. So co-CEOs between Nick and Steph. By the way, I know a ton of questions. You guys have tons and tons of questions. I would suggest using the hashtag AskMattMen, tweeting it in whatever chat you're in right now, and we will do our best to answer whatever we can.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the official statement? Do you have it?
I do. Okay. The official Vince McMahon statement, I'm not going to do the voice, by the way. As I approach 77 years old, I feel it's time for me to retire as chairman and CEO of WWE. Throughout the years, it's been a privilege to help WWE bring you joy, inspire you, thrill you, surprise you, and always entertain you. I would like to thank my family for mightily contributing to our success, and I would also like to thank all of our past and present superstars and employees for their dedication and passion for our brand. Most importantly, I would like to thank our fans for allowing us into your homes every week and being your choice of entertainment. I hold the deepest appreciation and admiration for our generations of fans all over the world who have liked, currently like, and sometimes even love our form of sports entertainment. Our global audience can take comfort in knowing WWE will continue to entertain you with the same fervor, dedication, and passion as always. I'm extremely confident in the continued success of WWE, and I leave our company in the capable hands of an extraordinary group of superstars, employees, and executives. In particular, both chairwoman and co-CEO Stephanie McMahon and co-CEO Nick Khan. As a majority shareholder, I will continue to support WWE in any way I can. My personal thanks to our community and business partners, shareholders, and board of directors for their guidance and support through the years, then, now, forever, together.
Yeah. So a couple key points there. Obviously, he's still the majority shareholder. And I don't think that's changing anytime
soon. Right.
we'll go into all the speculation, what's going on. He also sent out an internal memo to the staff, which was a bizarre email, internal statement.
You want to do this one?
I'll
you
want to
do this one?
One?
But you got to do the voice.
I can't do it with the voice.
I'm fired.
To all the WWE superstars, as I approach 77 years old, OMG, am I really that old? Did he write that? You know, I would love for him to write OMG. I feel like it's time for me to retire. I thoroughly enjoy sharing my passion, wisdom, and the love for the business with you. No longer will you see the smiling, docile, level-headed, calm presence at Gorilla every week. Your dedication to WWE will ensure that our company will continue to grow and prosper. Our organization is nothing without you. You are WWE's only natural resource, chosen to perform in front of a global audience. You are all WWE Global Ambassadors. Carry the WWE flag wherever you go. Wave it high and proud and bust your ass to be all you could be as the person and as a performer. One other thing, I won't be with you, but I'll be watching. That's a threat.
I'll be watching, Michael Cole.
Remember to keep your hands up, grab a hold, and sell. By the way, SmackDown airs live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Fox. Vince. You know, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of a new company. I know a lot of people will think same old, but it can never be the same old when that guy is no longer in charge.
It's going to be a very interesting landscape. Also, like, I want to go back a second. You know, remember how they used to say dead man walking? Do you think Vince's OMG is old man going?
It is old man going, I'll tell you. So this comes out, sends the internet in a frenzy, right? Everybody's freaking out. Mm-hmm. Brian Alvarez puts a tweet out at 4:45 p.m. I'm gonna go down the chain of events, and then we'll go into all
the timeline.
We'll do the timeline first. 4:45, Brian Alvarez tweets out, Brock Lesnar has left SmackDown. So I was texting with Brian. He's like, what have you heard? I'm like, I heard the same. He walked out. He said something along the lines of, if he's gone, I'm gone. And he walked out. I think it was more that he felt blindsided by this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, cooler heads prevailed. He came back at 8:30. He did his thing on TV. So that was a thing that happened.
For sure.
And this kind of goes into Rich. And do you think there's going to be more of these guys that are like, yeah, F this company. I'm not coming. Vince isn't here.
You know, part of me feels like it's the opposite. You know what I mean? Part of me feels like I watched SmackDown last night and it was okay. It was fine, you know, but I don't know why. I just kind of felt that the performers were being a little looser because maybe they didn't have that eye in the sky watching them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that guy wasn't there. Or maybe he was. Who knows? Do you think that Brock was like, all right, I'll come back, but get me a new cowboy hat?
You know, those were his demands. In a later tweet, he said, Brock said the line, this is Brian Alvarez, if he's gone, I'm gone. In another tweet, it was noted that they were trying to get him back. Fightful Select also stated that's exactly what happened. I spoke to a couple other people, and they all verified it was the same exact story. 5 p.m., there was an all-hands-on-deck meeting where Steph and Nick Khan presented to the locker room and gave them information of what the process is. Talent was also informed that Bruce Prichard will be taking over as head of creative, taking the position of Vince. We'll talk about that a little bit. After Brock left, the entire show was rewritten to not have Brock in it. Stephanie McMahon opened up SmackDown and acknowledges Vince's retirement. And SmackDown ends with Brock returning and beating up Theory to close the show. All right. Give me your opinion.
Of SmackDown?
Yeah.
It was... I felt like it did have a different quality to it, but it was still like samesy. I really enjoyed the main event. And listen, Montez Ford's charisma is through the roof. I think they really have something with the Street Profits. We're not here to analyze the show or the wrestlers, but I do feel like there was a little something perception-wise that was different, maybe a little bit better. You know, let's see how it is going forward. Do you think Bruce is the appropriate choice?
I think for right now, for like today, for tomorrow, for next week, until they figure out what the plan is, I think so. You know, they have stories that they've worked on. He's someone that understands Vince's philosophy, and to get to the end result of whatever those stories were, you're going to need someone like Bruce there. I also think Vince is going to be still hands-on for the transition period, whatever time frame that may be. You're not going to get an overnight change. That's not going to happen. You're not going to show up on Monday Night Raw and all of a sudden you know the ropes are red and it's back to the Attitude Era. That's not happening. TV-14 maybe. I don't know. We'll see. So here are some of the questions that that people have, right? Was this a forced retirement based on Vince's allegations, and is there more to come? Yeah, I think so, right?
Sure.
Would you say it's forced? I mean, I don't think it was planned. I don't think he thought about this like 6 months ago and was like, I think I'm going to retire on this day.
I think he saw, and everybody else saw, the writing on the wall, and he was like, well, this is my only option. Might as well. And you know what? Getting ahead of it and saying, like, hey, I'm 77. It's time for me to go. I think that was a nice buffer to add into that, you know, because it makes you think, hey, you know what? He's right. Right?
Yeah. Listen, I think that's what everybody says. It's 77 years old. How... regardless of what he's able to do, and he still has it, he doesn't have it, forget about all that, but at 77 years old, there is no possibility that you are as connected to your key demo as somebody in their 50s or 40s or 30s.
What do you think retirement life is going to be for Vince? Give me a picture. Like, what is he going to do?
Florida. What's his boat's name? Sexy Bitch. Whatever. I think he has like a boat called Sexy Bitch.
I thought it was the Stunad.
The Stunad. I think he has an uphill battle here with all these accusations. It's not good. It's not a positive thing for his legacy at all. It's not a positive thing at all whatsoever.
But does that matter? Because folks said that 30 years ago during the steroid trial and the Donahue interview and then Costas thing. You know what I mean? Like, folks have been trying to chip away at his legacy for the past like 40 years. You know, does this matter?
I'm talking about to him. I think this definitely matters to him. I think this matters to the company. You know, Vince has always been very protected. He doesn't do interviews. There's no, I mean, even those exposés, there's no real deep dive into his personal life. He is a very private person for being such a, you know, globally recognized figure. But when you have accusations like coercion of sex acts,
right?
That is a serious accusation. If it's true, it's heinous. If it's not true, your reputation is still damaged. You know, a lot of these questions are going to be answered in the next month or so, or 2 months, whatever the time period could be. I hate speculating on these things.
Right, exactly.
Not an even comparison, but I think we saw that Ricky Martin story that came out, right?
Oh, geez,
I'm not comparing it, but a lot of people jumped on this and accused this guy of something, you know, pretty heinous.
Pretty
it was
gnarly.
All over the media.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that the accuser came out and said no and turns out to be a mental health issue. It doesn't matter at that point. Again, not comparing. Mm-hmm. I'm talking general public opinion. The public opinion on Vince is tarnished at this point. For many.
I think so. But I'm not defending Vince at all, but I do think that opinion has been tarnished for many, many years already. You know, this is just like another, I think this was the last drop in the bucket that made him be like, you know what, it's time to go.
I'm going to tell you, I think he probably was told it's the best thing for the company.
Sure. And then, you know what? He lives and dies for the company.
He lives and dies for that company. Right? You know, that's the thing that he loves. So let's see some other questions.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, give me.
This is a tanning related question.
Yeah, give me.
First time, long time.
What if you're
in the backyard? You're covered in like your Maui iodine tanning solution. You got the pizza peel up to your face, right?
Yeah.
This guy drives down from Greenwich, Connecticut, and all of a sudden you hear, "Hey, give me that pizza peel."
So he's driving in his Bentley, right?
Yes, he's being driven to your place. Yeah. He lays down on the lawn chair next to you and just starts tanning with you. What do you do in that situation?
Oh, you got to tan with him, you know. What does he drink? What does Vince drink? You got to offer him something.
Bellinis.
I'm going to offer him my Maui, babe. I'm going to say, "Vince, are you smartened up to this?" And he's going to go, "No." And I'm going to go, "You got to try it." And he tries it and he just manifests and flies away. That's what happened to me yesterday. I flew away.
Do you want to do super chats as we get them?
Save them until let's run down the fallout portion of this and the time.
Okay.
You know, Vince's legacy stuff. And then we'll go into questions and we'll wrap. What time is your exit?
Got it. I got about 40 minutes.
Okay, 4 hours. Perfect. Even better.
11:30. 11:15, 11:30 is good.
Yeah. All right, cool. This is a very light and easy one. Let's see. Let's do it your way. I think that's right. I think we should do super chats as they come along. I think this is an important thing.
Okay, cool. So right. We got $5 from, let's go back from Bachelor 3000 here, $4.99. Thank you. Vince's sad eyes for years have finally led to this moment.
It has. It has.
His
happy hands got led to this moment more than anything else.
Happy hands. That's a good way to put it.
That's my grandfather used to describe horny old men.
Oh, yeah?
He has happy hands. He used to say that about his friend.
We should have gotten the horny expert on today.
Harry should have come on.
We got another $5 from Matt Reichel. In the long term, do you think all guys associated in the Vince inner circle will be gone from WWE?
I think that's a great question. I think so. Who are you talking? You're talking about Kevin Dunn. I think he has said it in the past. I think this has been a thing within WWE, like internally discussed, that if Vince left, most likely Kevin Dunn is leaving soon after. And Dunn has been there for 30 some odd years also. You know, he's a guy that's done everything he could do. I know that Triple H has his team. I know that it's been discussed that he has a different vision of how the product should be presented. So we'll find out. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Dunn's gone. I think Bruce Pritchard is a different scenario. Bruce really was a guy that from the age of 20 something, he was really Vince's guy, you know. And Vince and him have a very unique relationship. And, you know, he's a guy that was in and out of the company a couple times. Out of those, like, Vince guys, he's really the last one, really.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
It's very interesting. Like, anybody who sticks around for a reason, you know, where, like, these guys could have gone anywhere. It's like Kevin Dunn, especially, you know. I think Kevin Dunn's going to turn back into a pumpkin, though.
Just going to turn into a pumpkin and take off?
That's it, you know. Because that relationship is a very interesting one, and I've always found it fascinating because you never see anything with Kevin Dunn, right?
Yeah.
It's like he's the great and powerful Oz. You know, I'm not saying he's the one in charge behind Vince, but he's one guy that's in the company where, you know, no podcast appearances.
Yeah.
You don't really know much about the guy. You heard maybe some like wrestling myths that he saved his father's collection.
His father saved it. So he was loyal. So Vince was very loyal to the family. Something. I forgot what it was.
Yeah. So that's fascinating. We got another $5 here from Shreer Hashemi. What will the stock price be on Monday and 3 months from now? And is the theory push done?
Let's see what the stock is after. It's after hours. It's up. I mean, just tiny bit, but it didn't really do anything to the stock as of now. We'll see. I mean, they have an earnings call on the 4th. I think that's where a lot of the information matters. So I don't know if this was done maybe before that or for that, the timing, I don't know, but they have a call on the 4th. So we'll see. I can't speculate that stock. I really can't, because it's a difficult nut to crack, and I don't know what Vince McMahon leading means. I think Nick Khan has meant more in the last 2 years for that stock price than anything else. And having him as co-CEO, I think that kind of tells the story. Man, what a night and day from like a month and a half ago when Stephanie McMahon was getting buried. As, you know, right. I got to tell you, though, I'm going to say something here. This is my theory. Okay?
Preach.
We know the report that Stephanie McMahon was chosen by the board, right? That was the story, that Steph was chosen to come back to lead. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that burial that was in people's ears about Steph was to counteract her coming and being chairwoman of WWE or an acting CEO. Right. Maybe it was to prevent that from happening, to present her as, you know, the investors are unhappy. She's not a good marketer. What is she going to do here? Mm-hmm. She should come back in a lowered role. You know, now it kind of plays out. Like, WWE didn't decide the succession plan today. I don't think they decided yesterday. I think this, everything that's brewing today has been brewing since March when they got wind of this accusation.
For sure. I think also there's a lot to be said working in very high corporate positions, where I'm not saying this happened with Steph, but there have been many instances where you just kind of fail upwards. You know,
Listen, if you are in a position of growth, right, you're at a job that you constantly, every 6 months to a year, you're evaluated and you have promotions. There is a wall you're going to hit.
There's a good question here.
Yeah.
Before we get to the next super chat, was this done so it was less of a story when that earnings call happens on August 4th?
Definitely. It was done on a Friday, so it's not really covered extensively. It's a very typical PR move to release this information on a Friday afternoon after the market closes, so people forget about it on Monday. News on Monday from Friday is not really news anymore. It's old.
Fascinating. It's so that to me is so fascinating. This is a super from EMC4K. Guys, keep them coming. When you super chat us, we will answer them immediately. This is a fun show. We're going to be here for another half an hour or so.
I may unzip my pants if we go to TV14.
From the back, though.
From the back, not the front. I got zippers everywhere.
Weird thing about Andrew, he has pants like old-timey cartoons with a little flap on the butt.
Yeah.
with Vince gone, do you predict current free agents are having second thoughts about signing and or returning to WWE under this new regime?
I think for some, yes. I think for some, no. I think there's going to be plenty of people that would want to come back now, because they think there's an opportunity for them. You know, a lot of the time, here's the biggest thing here. The biggest change here will be who are the writers writing for, right? Who are you developing characters for? Who are you presenting these characters for? We've heard the story. These writers write for Vince. It's whatever Vince's vision is, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Whatever Vince thinks that should be the direction, that's where they go. Now, we're not there. I don't know how accurate. I think it is accurate to a very, very high point. But is it down to the point that the writers sit down in meetings and say, no, 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 we can't pitch that to him? We got to pitch him a Vince idea? I don't know. I think it's more like a philosophy that they have as far as writing goes. But
yeah,
I think now that's going to be the big question. You know, they got to get through the storylines that they have. I don't know if that's going to change rapidly. I can tell you that the rewrites are not going to happen as much.
Right.
So that'll be an instant change. I think the commentators will be a little bit more comfortable, because you won't have Vince in their ear as much. You know, well, I think that'll be the first obvious change. I think Monday Night Raw is going to change, and I think SmackDown, the commentary, we will immediately know what the effect of Vince McMahon not being in Gorilla screaming at them is.
Also, who's to say 6 months down the line, there's another report, like a news break saying, hey, Vince McMahon returns to WWE as a consultant.
Oh, okay. Perfect. You hit the nail on the head. I asked a bunch of people yesterday when this happened. I reached out to some talent. I reached out to some people in the office. And, you know, when I asked, I'm like, do you think he'll ever come back? And the answer was, it's wrestling. You know, so is this, you know, is it a possibility for him to come back? I think that's it really depends on what this investigation holds. I think at the end of the day, if this investigation comes out and nobody comes forward, nobody else comes forward, and it all comes out that it was all, you know, I'm not saying this is the case, but let's say it comes out that it's all consensual. These people signed an NDA and nobody else digs into this. Yeah, I see them. I see him coming back. However, if the investigation continues and they find out more information, which most likely there's more.
Yeah.
Most likely, I would imagine 30 years, you don't just decide to you don't come up with the concept of signing NDAs at the age of 66. You've probably been doing this for a long time, which I think the story was that he has. It's a very common thing. In the corporate world for these NDAs for relationships. Now, it's not, I'm not saying it's very common for coercion. I don't know. But if you're that first report I'm going based on where if you are in a relationship with someone that is consensual, or I'm assuming, right? Because they met outside, they were in a relationship. That's a very common thing. However, this coercion thing is a big deal. The $7.5 million payout is a big deal. If there's more of these, I do not see him coming back publicly like that at all.
Right.
But if this blows over and it's wrestling and you know, terrible things tend to blow over in wrestling, unfortunately, I see him coming back.
That's such an interesting thing. But we'll see. You know, like there's so much more to this that's going to play out over the next maybe year or two. Let's take another super.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is from Bob, our friend Bob Hazelwood. He's feeling under the weather. We hope you feel better, Bob.
Feel better, Bob.
Does this change the quality of Raw SmackDown announcing now that Vince won't be constantly feeding lines?
Yeah, 100%. I said that a couple minutes ago. I think that's going to be the first thing that changes is the commentary.
Yeah.
Already, by the way, SmackDown commentary is very good.
Yes,
you know,
for sure.
There's been Michael Cole. This run of his career, the Pat McAfee run, it may, you know, depending on how this goes, this later run that he has may relieve a lot of the criticism that he's had over the years as a commentator. I think Michael Cole's a fantastic commentator. He deserves to be there. Unfortunately, you know, and you see these moments of how good he is when he's calling certain things. Was it the Cruiserweight Classic he was calling? What was it?
I think that was Moro.
No. It was the that show in Japan, that house show that they did in Japan without Vince in his ear, and this guy's calling moves and he's calling everything. I mean, he was unbelievable in that. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Michael Cole's a very talented announcer. People crap on him all the time, but he's doing what they're giving him.
He does the best job, and think about how many people have came and went in the last 15 years, and that guy has been behind that desk. Hey, I think
he does what Vince wants. That's why.
He does what Vince wants. I think McAfee is the legacy to Michael Cole, because McAfee is very, very good on the stick with Michael Cole next to him.
It was a UK tournament that he called.
Cool.
And he was unbelievable. He was very good. You know, I'm not quick to crap on people. I never am.
No.
Neither are you. We don't tend to do that. But if you have a bad night, yeah, I don't think he's undeserving of being there. I think Pat McAfee has done an unbelievable job at being his Jerry Lawler in a way. And I don't think he ever had that. I don't think, you know what? Him and Taz were a good team. I think him and Taz were good. He had,
for sure.
He had somebody really good with Taz. But after that, you know, him and Lawler really, they're not, it wasn't the dynamic. Because you were going, he was replacing JR, which you'll never be able to. That comparison is terrible to make.
Oh, for sure. For, yeah.
Especially, you know, how do you think he feels? He probably knows Jim Ross is the best.
But you know, it's interesting because when you go down that like lineage of announcers and play-by-play guys, I feel like it's a tough nut to crack because even JR, as amazing as he is, best of all time, arguably, folks would be like, well, he's no Gordon Solie.
Yeah.
you know? And then with Michael Cole, it's like, well, he's no this, or with Taz or whatever. What if McAfee switched places with Excalibur?
Oh my God. I don't think that would work. I don't think Excalibur and that'd be hysterical. All right. Let's see.
We got another $5 here from Alex Diaz, 1990. Hey guys, prediction on three guys that their stock will now rise with Vince gone. I'll say Ciampa, Ricochet, Ali, and T-Bar. That's four guys.
Okay, let me read this. Hey guys, prediction on three guys that their stock will rise. Ciampa, Ricochet, Ali, T-Bar. That's a good question. I think Ciampa.
Yes.
For sure. I think Balor.
Oh, for sure. Nakamura.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I think you're going to see a lot of these guys. I think you might be surprised some of them.
I'm going to play like, you know, fantasy wrestling here. It would be interesting if the reins weren't pulled in as much with a lot of these guys and their own creativity, you know, because you have a lot of creative guys on that roster. Ciampa's a great example and Nakamura's a great example, right? Tell me, like, do you think Ciampa's better than being stuck in that angle with The Miz and AJ?
Do I think he's better than that?
Yeah,
I think so. I think he's better than that. But it really, listen, wrestling is really weird. It's a weird business.
Yes.
Everybody wants something different. You watch it for a different reason. I watch it for a different reason. Everybody here, like, I got into a discussion over, like, body size with somebody. And they're like, oh, you really? He's like, yeah, but your thing is, like, big jacked up dudes. You don't like the little guys. I'm like, that's not what I'm, not at all. I said, right. I like a variety of guys. Like, I don't think you should not. I think you should be physically impressive. I think that is part of it, is that look at what these guys are doing. Look how they look. Mm-hmm. I can't be that guy. Especially for now, kids. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Especially for kids.
Daddy doesn't look like that.
I'm not telling you should look like Ryback, by the way. I'm saying, right. You know, a lot
Nobody
of
should.
It's a very visual business. So I think some of these guys, you know, you need a good variety of it. I think some of these smaller guys will get a great example in Adam Cole, right? Adam Cole, if he was in WWE still, without Vince McMahon there, do you think the possible pitch for him to come to the main roster would be to be a manager?
No. But here's the thing. You take a guy like Adam Cole, let's leave him on the table, right? And now you take a guy like Madcap Moss, who is over and getting over, right? Big, jacked dude. They blow him up on commentary like nobody's business. Who's to say that if Adam Cole was still there, that wouldn't be the rivalry where Adam Cole puts the shine on him because he's so good?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I don't know. It's hard to predict, but I'm willing to bet if Vince wasn't in charge and Hunter had some creative... By the way, Hunter was helping with creative on Friday for SmackDown.
Great.
With Bruce. So I think, who was it? It was Bruce. It was MG would know. Who else was on creative? Totally
MG
forgot
was
who.
Creative.
Huh? MG was on
MG
creative.
MG was on creative. But, you know, you have... It's interesting, and the landscape is interesting. And listen, like, nobody does showbiz, quote-unquote showbiz, like WWE.
Yeah.
You know, like, look at that intro that the Street Profits had yesterday. Coming through the crowd... Big
oh, great
dudes,
intro, yeah.
Lovable, the graphics and everything. And then when they come out later, dude, their pyro is solo cups being shot into the air, and it wows the crowd. A plastic cup being fired into the air makes people
wows
go
them,
bananas,
yeah.
You know?
Listen, again,
showbiz.
Everybody's there for a different reason, and that's what WWE, mm-hmm. that's their philosophy. You know, that's why you need the comedy, and you need the seriousness, you need this, you need that. So let's...
Well... Here, let's go into another. This All right. is a pertinent question, and it's a super chat from Schreier. Can you see the WWE doing less sports entertainment and go more old school wrestling?
Ed Koski was writing. Thank you, the man. It depends on what your expectation is. I don't think they are ever going to go back to being, you know, the wrestling we grew up on. I think they're a much larger entity now. They're a very different thing. That sports entertainment philosophy resonates every corner of that company. Okay, so it wasn't just a Vince McMahon thing that they're sports entertainment. They're not pro wrestling. Yes, they have pro wrestling, but they're not exclusively pro wrestling. That philosophy is engraved. I'm not saying with the talent. I'm with tons of the talent. Yes. But I'm saying as far as a corporate philosophy, as a business philosophy, a branding philosophy, that has reached all corners of this company. When I talk to people there, they do not believe they are the same as AEW. They do not believe they are the same as a wrestling promotion. They are much larger than a wrestling promotion.
They're the circus. There's the circus and they're Broadway. And it's interesting because, like, that Vince statement, the internal statement, I think is fascinating because what are the two things he said at the end? Keep your hands up and remember to sell, right?
Remember to sell, yeah.
Nobody, and listen, I may get shit for this, but nobody sells like a WWE performer, right? It's so over the top.
No, nobody. Nobody.
Right? Like, so on, let's say on Wednesday, just an example, you had a bunch of wild matches at the beginning, right? Tons of pile drivers, a lot of indie style, no selling, right?
Yeah.
WWE is the opposite, where like these guys sell to the top of the arena. You know, it's very fast. It's a very fascinating dynamic, the sports entertainment philosophy. We got another 20 from friend of the show, Brandon Edwards. Does Nick Khan and Hunter coexist? Can they coexist?
I think that's a great question. I think so. I think they're all friendly. I think they're all friends. You know, this is going to be an interesting move. Again, we're going to have to find out what they're co-CEOs. And WWE's done the co-president thing with Michelle Wilson and George Barrios. But it depends on what their daily tasks are going to be. Stephanie McMahon cannot do what Nick Khan does. Nick Khan's job is very different. Not that she's not competent at it. It's a very different job. So, having Nick Khan there run the business aspect, it's not something Hunter does. So this is an asset for them. I don't think they're seeing it as, you know, this is going to be a problem, but I would say, I would say yes.
Here's a good one from Jonas Tiger.
Okay.
Can we say wrestling again? I think so.
Yes. No, they'll probably say wrestling. You don't think so?
I don't think it really matters at this point. You know, like, I feel like in promos, probably it'll be maybe a little looser. Do you think they're going to go back to saying belt instead of title?
I think it's going to be a little bit looser. I don't think it's going to be as like crazy with the verbiage. Maybe it's still going to be. Listen, it depends on Steph more than anything else. You know, what's her philosophy? We don't really know. Everybody thinks it's Vince's philosophy, but I don't know what her philosophy is.
Yeah, you know, like I feel like it's going to be, it could be one of those situations where it's like the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think with him not being in the picture, maybe people can breathe a little bit more instead of being so rigid. I think that's the issue with a lot of creative and the writers when you have like 40 writers and they don't know what the hell to do because there's one guy who's saying like all your stuff is garbage, you know? And we mentioned this yesterday on the show. Maybe Hunter is the right guy to fill in that void, and the combination of Hunter and Bruce might end up making a more fine-tuned product in a certain way, appealing to more people. I don't know.
I think, you know what? I would say that Hunter will be the rah-rah guy. I think that like talking and like working with the talent and being that guy, it has to be Hunter. I don't see it being Bruce. I think that's all good questions. I don't know. I don't know how the layout, and it depends if Bruce is going to stay, if Bruce wants to stay without Vince.
That's true. No. Now I got another question for you to piggyback on what you were just saying. Do you think that vanilla midget mandate gets thrown out the window now?
From who?
I remember a few months ago where they were like,
when everybody was being so critical about smaller guys and indie guys, right?
I think it was no indie guys, nobody over 30, and no vanilla midgets, right? That was like the whole thing.
I find that so absurd, right?
Right, right.
Like, that mindset is so bizarre because they're like, okay, so what do you mean? You're going to tell me that guys, like, because of your size, you're not, like, okay, what are you looking for? 6'3"? You're telling me nobody over 6'3"? Shawn Michaels should have never gotten over then.
Exactly.
Shawn Michaels should have never been a top guy in the business if that's your philosophy in wrestling. Shawn's 6 foot on a good day, right? Six foot on a good day, 220 on a good day. Mm-hmm. I mean, by that standard, he's a small guy. You know, they were talking about Eddie Guerrero. Right. Eddie Guerrero was, what, 5'9", 2-something? He's a big dude. Right. Rey Mysterio should have never been a star. Daniel Bryan should have never been a star. I don't think they're going to backtrack on that immediately. I do think, however, it's going to depend on the success of AEW in the next, I guess, year or two. Right. If AEW is very successful with these guys, I see them grabbing their AEW talent, but I don't think they're going to become, NXT's going to turn into, the best of the indies again.
Right. And then also this kind of like, you could get like all these like wrestling fantasy things percolating, you know what I mean? Where who's to say that, let's say, a Jericho doesn't end his career in WWE 3 years from now.
Okay. But here's the other thing, right? A lot of those guys would come back for Vince.
Right.
The Austins, the Rocks, I'm not saying Rock's not come back. I think that's still in play here, but the Austins, the Undertakers, the Shawn Michaels. Shawn came out of retirement for Vince.
Oh my God! Yeah,
obviously the money too, but it was more for Vince, you know. So a lot of the Vince McMahon like doing it for Vince, I think that's gonna go. That personal connection that a lot of these older guys have, you know, Undertaker coming back, I would have said, yeah, absolutely, I see him coming back. I don't know now. Maybe he won't come back.
Perfect example. What about Shane?
Oh, sweet old Shane. Where does this leave him? Does Shane come back to the company?
Very interesting, right? Because he was the first shoe to drop, right? Like Shane not being associated with WWE anymore.
Yeah, in January, that being sent home. Yeah, that was
fascinating.
Very.
We got another $5 super chat from Bob Hazelwood. If Intern Deacon was a Marvel supervillain, what would his superpower be? And nefarious goals.
Oh, I could tell you. You know what he does? You know what his power is? He's able to like have like slime appear on the floor and you just slip on it.
That's good. I want to combine that with him just being able to shoot raw eggs out of his...
Raw eggs. He just shoots raw eggs at you like a Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Eggman.
The Eggman.
Eggman. Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. This is from Sexy Chewbacca 69.
Oh,
Can they lose Pritchard now?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what Bruce's goal is. He gets a lot of crap, though, Bruce.
He does.
He does. He gets a ton of crap. I don't know if it's justified or not currently. I haven't I haven't heard anything negative heavily about Bruce Pritchard from anybody there. Like, they don't really... Maybe he's a non-event. I don't know. I don't know what the scenario is. I listen, man, you know, Bruce is approaching, you know, it gets harder and harder the older you get, especially over there. It's a very demanding job. I have to tell you, like, these are people that do not go on vacation even though they have vacations, okay? And this is something that has been said to me. They have vacations. God forbid you take your full vacation over there.
Exactly. Well, we need
right?
to be like... You said 2 weeks, but we need you back in 5 days.
No. You're asking for 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute. You're going to go away for 2 weeks? Are you kidding me? We're a business here. You can't go away for 2 weeks.
I think Balor was the only guy who took, like, that nice break when he got married.
Yeah. Well, talent gets a little bit more. I'm seeking more, like, corporate structure, you know? It is a very demanding place.
Here is a phenomenal question. I think this should be the last one.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Because then I got to get out of here. This is a really good question, though. And I think it's right up your alley, Andrew. This is from Twitter, the Kingsman. Does Vince leaving affect the negotiations for the TV deals for Raw and SmackDown with USA and Fox?
No. I don't think it does, because Nick was the one that really spearheaded that. So as I think, as long as Nick Khan is there, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Vince will. Here's the other thing: Vince is on the board, so we don't. Is he stepping away from the board? That hasn't been announced. He's still a majority shareholder, mm-hmm. like we said. I don't think this affects it, but I mean, he. You know what we're gonna find out? How much the media industry, the entertainment industry, thinks of Vince McMahon being the man with the Midas touch. We'll find that out.
We got one more super chat here from Sherman.
Okay.
How long will it be before we know the full impact of Vince being gone?
A transitionary period of maybe 90 days. I mean, you'll start seeing some stuff, but I wouldn't imagine like overnight they're rebranding. But I think some of these things take a while. If they have any big ideas that they want to finally do that, you know, Vince would put the kibosh on, I would say probably 90 days to get your shit together. So let's see. Where are we? In July, August, September, October. I guess in the fall, we should kind of start seeing things fall into place. And you know what? It's the fall season. Might as well do something different then, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe it might be sooner than later, right? Because like they're gearing up towards this TV-14 thing. And last night I sent you like a shot of my TV where it was on Spectrum and the little thing said TV-PG, but then at the bottom it said TV-15+.
Yeah, it's all wacky. So the cable provider, like Hulu, has Raw listed as a TV-14 show.
Interesting. But again, who knows? You know, like, what does TV-14 mean in this landscape of super accessible programming? You know, does it hold any sway? Does it really mean anything to, like, besides people who really, I guess, want to make sure what their kids are watching is okay? You know what I mean? Like, parental controls and things like that.
The TV-14 stuff. So I'll say this. I spoke to someone within WWE yesterday, and they did confirm that it's happening.
Right.
Okay. Let me read this. It is happening. Just, I don't feel comfortable giving a date anymore.
I will not give
a date. My mistake was putting the date on the memo. That was my mistake there. But listen, maybe some of this TV-14 stuff has a lot to do with Vince leaving. And again, this is a company, and I talk about it. Let's talk about TV-14 for a second.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about TV-14. Here we go. We're TV-14 now, okay?
Wait, are we TV-14?
We're TV-14 now, yeah. You haven't seen a changing wall show?
I always thought we were TV NC-17.
Hold on. Let's do this. There you go. We're everything. All
right. Oh, shit. What's TVG?
You know, it's like cartoons.
It's like just guidance.
Rated G. Yeah. Just a Guardian. We're TVMA, baby.
Yeah.
So
Mad Men. We couldn't fit all of Mad Men in there. We can only afford the first two letters.
TVMM. Yeah. This is a company that is very big on the optics, and everything that they do, there's a reason, right? Him retiring on a Friday is for a reason. If you are looking to reinvigorate your casual fan or your disenfranchised fan, Vince is leaving. You go TV-14. You don't really change a whole lot, but the fact that there's these changes is enough to gain you some more of those followers. This is how they think, not me. I'm not thinking this way. Or maybe I am, because I know how they think with this stuff. TV-14 plays into this. You know, this isn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake that SmackDown, that SummerSlam is listed as TV-14. Let me tell you this. I know for a fact that WWE has denied SmackDown is going to be TV-14. It may not be TV-14. It's possible that it's going to be PG, but the cable providers all have it at TV-14. So what happened? You sent this information out to your providers. You obviously communicated with the network that this may be happening. They've brought it up on TV. SmackDown, last week's episode of SmackDown is listed as TV-14 on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So you are, something is brewing here. Wires got crossed or something, but Let's see.
Well, this is going to play out, like, much like the allegations, much like all the Vince stuff, much like the retirement, the TV4 thing is going to play out in the next couple of months. What a wild week of, like, WWE news, right?
Yeah. Crazy week. This is all wacky stuff. Listen, this is, you're covering pro wrestling. This is the time to cover pro wrestling, right? But, what do you think happens? I want your opinion. I mean, listen, you watch wrestling as much as I do. You follow this stuff as much as I do. Where do you see this going in the next, I don't know, 6 months? You think a lot changes?
I don't know. Like I said, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But I do think there's going to be a lot more breathing room within the company. You know, I think people are going to be able to, like, exhale a little bit and then maybe get their thoughts together better. I always felt that WWE had a problem of too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, and then the headmaster, arguably Vince is the Gordon Ramsay of WWE, just telling everybody that they're pieces of garbage. With that gone, who knows? You know, do they need that patriarch to tell them that they're wrong all the time? Will the ship fall apart without him, or will the crew be able to do a better job? You know, I think leaving Steph and Nick Khan in charge is fantastic. Triple H being in play is fantastic. It is a family business. And I do think Khan will take the company to the next level in a certain way, if that's even possible. What about you?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think Nick Khan is the guy to take them into that next thing. But here's the other thing, right? What happens? A lot of people have asked me, like, are they more willing to sell now? Is this more of a reality? And, you know, having a McMahon disconnected from the company, does that help your sale? Does that worsen your sale? I don't know, but who would buy them? You know, Endeavor keeps coming up to mind. A lot of people talking about Endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the fight sport business. They're a publicly traded company. Peacock is another one. I don't see Disney doing it. However, I would love a Undertaker and Wolverine crossover event.
I think if Disney, I've always said that Disney are the ones to buy WWE if they do it.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. Here's how you do it. Steve Austin as Xavier. Okay.
Oh, I'd love it. Hey, my X-Men, come here. Oh, Nightcrawler, I love your blue skin. That'd be amazing. Except he doesn't have the wheelchair. He just walks around.
He just walks around.
He can perambulate. You know, he's very, very aggressive.
Hold on. What does he do with his telekinesis?
I think he just zaps beers into his hand.
What, Cerebral? He puts it on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions before we wrap it up?
Guys, I want one more question.
Yeah.
Pulse this one. Go ahead.
Well, we got one more super chat here.
Okay, do that one.
Do you want to do the super chat? This is from Ryan, $5. Don't know if you noticed, but Xavier mentioned Ring of Honor and New Japan on commentary last night. That's a change, and the promo seemed looser. Yes, he did.
What did he say? I didn't hear it.
He was talking about the Viking Raiders being champs in New Japan and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think that was think about it this way, right? There's a Ring of Honor pay-per-view tomorrow, the following day. I think it's strategic, nice. Obviously, to do it. Yeah,
here's
maybe,
a quick question.
Maybe you're going to get more of that.
Here's a quick question. Sorry, Magwai Gonzo. Do we finally get the trios match of New Day versus the Elite?
No.
Because of all of this.
No.
One year later.
Don't see it happening. That I definitely don't see happening. Listen, I'd love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. I think that would be the match to have. Maybe, listen, you don't know, you know?
Right.
That's the other thing. Maybe I'm wrong, but we don't know. We don't know what kind of philosophy Nick Khan has as far as working with other brands. Stephanie, we're assuming she thinks like her dad.
MG, what did you want to say?
Oh, I just wanted you to hit this last question. This one I thought was pretty interesting. Kind of wrap it all up.
All right, let's.
Do you think this retirement could just be the distance himself from the company on a public level before the next big bomb drops while he's privately run stuff behind the scenes?
Do you think this retirement is distancing himself from the company on a public level before the next big plan is still? Yeah, I think he's gonna. He's not gone today. You know, like that didn't happen. He there's a transitionary period. He's gonna be there for a while, at least for the short term.
Consulting. Last night someone mentioned that he's transitioning Pritchard into the role
of head of creative. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to, obviously, Stephanie's his daughter. He's still the largest shareholder of the company. He's definitely going to have a say in things in some capacity. It's so early to know as far as that, but I don't expect him to disappear tomorrow. Like that's why I said you're going to start seeing these little changes happen. Like maybe commentary gets a little bit more comfortable or certain words are used that normally you wouldn't hear on WWE TV. You know, like yesterday, they spoke about Ring of Honor and New Japan. When was the last time they mentioned Ring of Honor and New Japan on a WWE TV product prior to, you know, like I would say I'm trying to remember when the last time was. Was it when the Good Brothers debuted? They brought up the IWGP thing. I think they brought up Ring of Honor. When Sting showed up, they were talking about how he was, you know, NWA champion, and they kind of acknowledged his title reign. They used to do it for a while, and then they pulled AJ, back.
Yeah, AJ Nakamura.
Like, AJ, you know, Nakamura.
All those signings.
Yeah, but I think that was like the last time they kind of acknowledged a lot of this, mm-hmm. and they went back to the philosophy of being their own island.
Yes.
All right, let's do two more questions and wrap it up here.
All right.
I tweeted, Vince should go to, he should show up in GCW.
That'd be amazing. Just call him the chairman.
The chairman? Him versus Joey Janela?
Would you pay to see that?
I would pay to see Vince McMahon versus Joey Janela in a heartbeat.
But Vince goes over like hardcore.
Ah! Yeah.
Here's a good comment from the Shadow Ranger. WWE has never acknowledged anyone's TNA or Impact championships.
Yeah, you know who did? It was JBL on commentary. He incorporated his NWA or TNA titles as world champion.
Except Mickey James. Mickey James too. Yeah.
And Mickey James too. All right. Yeah.
All right. Do we have a question? Yeah, I gotta get moving here.
All right. Do we have any questions?
I gotta go. No. I gotta go.
All right. All right, guys. This was a lot of fun. I'll be back tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live on the F4W channel, obviously breaking this down a little bit more. Hopefully
live tweeting
having some
ROH
more detail about it. What is that, MJ?
I said we'll be live tweeting ROH this evening.
Yes, and Ring of Honor, you guys are going to be live tweeting it. I'm going to try my best to live tweet a little bit, but I will be watching the Ring of Honor show next week. We have the Ric Flair retirement match, the third retirement match, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot more. I had to sneeze there.
Bless you.
Oh. All right. That's it for this week. See you next time. Take care.
Later. I'm sorry. I love you.
I'm sorry. I love you.